We are glad to present your speaker, Don Blackwell.
Some things that young people need to know. It's specifically aimed at young people. But notice also the topic was some things that young people need to know. You know, there are a lot of things that young people might be interested in knowing and might like to hear someone talk about, and a lot of things we might like for them to know. And many of those things would be fine and good. But the topic was some things that they need to know. This is the list that I came up with, 8 things. If I could tell young people 8 things, and that is all, the first thing that I believe young people need to know is what your purpose in life is. Why you are here. You know, I'm afraid that there are a lot of fully grown, mature adults who don't know the answer to this question. And if you go out and you talk to your friends, young people, and you ask your teachers or your friends or your coaches, what is my purpose in life? They might tell you your purpose in life is to be all that you can be, to make something out of yourself, to live up to your full potential. They might tell you what really matters in life is that you get a good education. Someone else might say what really matters is that you have a good career. You need to work toward a career that will bring you inner fulfillment. And that's the way a lot of people live their lives. They go through life neglecting the more important things for the sake of their career. But contrary to what some people might tell you, that's not what really matters in life. That's not the purpose of life. If there is one thing I believe young people need to know, it is their purpose in life. Because once they know their purpose in life, then they have some direction. Then they can set goals. Then they can set out to accomplish it. And so what is their purpose in life? Here it is. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. It says this, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive honor and power, for Thou hast created all things." Now listen what it says. "And for Thy pleasure they are and were created." Why are we here? Why have we been created? The Bible says we have been for the pleasure and the glory of God. And so what is our purpose according to that verse? Our purpose is to bring pleasure and glory to God. So how are we going to do that? Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. This is what Solomon said. He said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Now according to that verse, what's your purpose in life? He said, fear God and keep His commandments. He says that is the whole of man. The King James has the word duty. It's not in the original. It says the whole of man, the all of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. That's what it's all about. That is your purpose. You know, it is a very sad conclusion to your life if you miss this purpose. You have wasted your life. You might find a cure for cancer. You might have more education than anyone on the face of the planet. You might be the richest man who ever lived. You might be the best political negotiator on this earth. But if you don't fear God and keep His commandments, you have missed your purpose in existence. You know, at one point in the life of Jesus, a lawyer came to Him and asked Him the question, "Master, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus responded by saying, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, with all of thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment." Matthew 22 and verse 37. I believe that this point is one of the most important points that young people need to know today. And that is, what is your purpose in life? Because if you don't know why you're here and what your goal is, it's going to be hard to accomplish it. That's the first thing I would tell them. What is your purpose? Why are you on this planet? Here's the second thing I would tell them. What young people need to know. I would want them to realize and be convinced of the fact that life is short. You know, James said it this way in James 4 and verse 14, "For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away." I can remember as a kid going out here to the fairgrounds, and it was usually cold when we'd go to the fair. And I remember specifically then seeing your breath, and you would see it for just a minute and then it's gone. And the Bible says that's what our life is like. It's just a vapor and then it's gone. But when you're a young person, it seems like you have forever. It seems like you're never going to die. It's hard to convince young people that life is short. And I'm still very young. But with each day that passes, I realize more and more the truth of this. Life is short. Time passes so very quickly. It seems to me like such a short time ago that we were teenagers here at North Charleston, and I asked Sherry to go on our first date together. And that was nearly 20 years ago. And I think time goes so very quickly. It seems like just yesterday we were calling the family to tell them Sherry is pregnant. We're going to be parents. And now we've got three. One will be a teenager in a few months. Life is short. We've got to use it wisely. I read this last week on USA Today that the average lifespan of a male in the United States of America right now is 75 years old. That occurred to me. I'm almost halfway done. It goes very quickly. And there are some of you who are more than halfway done. You know, the Apostle Paul told the Ephesians this way in light of the fact that life is short. He said we should redeem the time because the days are evil. Ephesians 5 and verse 16. Jesus said it this way when He was on this earth. In John chapter 9 verse 4, He said, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. For the night cometh when no man can work. In other words, I've got a very limited amount of time and I've got certain work that I have to do. And so I've got to be busy about doing it. And the same thing is true for us. We've got to use our time wisely. We've got to take advantages of the opportunities we have while we have them. We've got to strike while the iron is hot, so to speak. Because if we pass up these opportunities, we may never get them again. As parents, we have our children when they're young and when we can mold them. If we pass up that opportunity, we're never going to get it back again. There are opportunities we have to teach people. If we pass up, we will never get it back again. You need to realize life is short and you've got to take advantage of the opportunities while you have them. Number three, young people need to know you are tomorrow's leaders in the church. Young men, you are the elders of tomorrow. Young men, you're the preachers of tomorrow. You're the Bible class teachers of tomorrow. Young ladies, you are the Bible class teachers of tomorrow. You are the mothers of tomorrow. And the question is, are you bringing yourself up or are you preparing yourself for that task? And older people, are we preparing them for the task? Have you been diligently teaching the truth in these young people, to these young people, so that they will be prepared to hold true to the pattern? Have we been teaching them the fear of the Lord so that they will want to be a Christian? So that faithfulness to the Lord will be the most important thing to them? Have we instilled in them the desire to be leaders in the Lord's church? Are we using them and teaching them and putting them to work now so that the transition will be easy? You know, in Judges chapter 2, we're told about the people of Israel. Just after they have received the promised land. And Judges chapter 2 and verse 7 says, And the people of the Lord served, and the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works that the Lord did for Israel. But then verse 10 says, And there arose after them another generation which knew not the Lord, nor the works which He had done in Israel. Now that's astounding to me to think about. Here is a generation of people that the Bible said served the Lord all of their days. And that faithful generation died. And there arose another generation who did not know the Lord. Now what happened? Something went wrong in the transition. Brethren, our young people grow up in such a hurry. Are we raising up a generation who will not know the Lord? Or are we preparing them for tomorrow? Young people, I want you to remember my words tonight. Remember them. Because it's only going to seem like tomorrow and you're going to be the responsible generation for the Lord's church. And you're going to think it seems like just yesterday I heard Him say this. Number four, young people need to know. I thought about things that I really would like to convince young people of. Young people need to know what love is. You need to know what real love is. Some of you are likely dating or soon will be dating or hope that you'll find somebody who's willing to date you. And you need to understand what love is. And I make this point because there are a lot of people in the world who do not understand what love is. First, love is not that feeling that you get in the pit of your stomach when you go on a date. That's not love. That's nervousness. And that's butterflies. Love is not that feeling of infatuation that a couple gets when they first get together. Love is not something that you fall into and fall out of. You know how I know that? Because in Ephesians 5:25, the Lord says, Husbands, love your wives. It's not a feeling. That's not what it is. It's not something you fall into. It's not an accident. In fact, I try to avoid using the phrase fall in love because I think it confuses things. The Lord describes the type of love that a man should have toward his wife as a commitment that you make. It's a decision. It is a conscious thing that a person does. It doesn't happen by accident. And love is not the experience you have in the back seat of your car. That's lust and it's sinful. for two people who are not married. Love is a commitment that you make to one another, to care for one another, to fulfill each other's needs. And that's something young people really need to know. And you know what else they need to know along these same lines? You really need to know what matters in a spouse. Probably most of you are going to get married someday. Most people do. You need to know what to look for in a spouse. You know, you might look for somebody who's good looking. I mean, after all, that's one of the first things that attracts us to other people. You might look for someone with a good education and think, well, you know, there's some stability in that. And you might look for someone who's financially well off. And while all of these things are fine, that is not what really matters in a spouse. What really matters is going to be their character. They might be beautiful on the outside, but they might not have the type of character on the inside. They might have a lot of financial resources on the outside, but they don't have what matters on the inside. When looking for a spouse, the main question that you need to ask is that person going to help me to get to heaven? That's the question. Really, nothing else matters. Is that person going to help me to get to heaven? I had a lady tell me one time, a single Christian lady. She said, "I am looking for a man who loves the Lord more than he loves me." And she said, "When I find him, that'll be the right one." Now, why did she say that? She said that because she wanted to go to heaven. And she knew that if she could find a man who loved the Lord more than he loved her, he would help her get there. And incidentally, she knew if she could find a man who loved the Lord more than he loved her, that he was going to be a good husband. You know why? Because the Lord says, "Husbands, love your wives." And if he really loves the Lord, he's going to be a good husband. And if you find a woman who loves the Lord that way, she's going to be a good wife. And that husband is going to be a good father. Why? Because if he loves the Lord, Ephesians 6 and verse 4 teaches that he is going to provide for his children. He's going to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. You find one who really loves the Lord, they'll help you go to heaven. They will be a good wife. You will have a happy relationship. And you will walk hand in hand through this life and hopefully into eternity. Number 5, I think young people really need to know that the consequences of sin follow you for a long, long time. The consequences of sin don't just disappear, especially depending on the nature of the sin. I wish I had been convinced about this of many of the things I've done in my life, and probably all of us have things that we wish that we had known this ahead of time. But unfortunately, most of us learn the lesson the hard way. The consequences of sin follow us for a long time. Let me give you some examples of what I'm talking about here. I know a man in a congregation of the Lord's church. He's an older man now. They were selecting elders. And this man, his name was put forth as a potential elder. When his name was suggested, people in the congregation began to drag out things from his past that took place 25 years ago. They hadn't forgotten about them. These things are still haunting him years later. The Lord had forgiven him. It's ancient history as far as God is concerned, but they're still haunting him. I know of numerous members of the Lord's church who are faithful Christians today, but they weren't faithful when their children were young. And as a result, their children have become unfaithful. It's a consequence of their sin, and they're paying for it for a long time. And I know it pains them very deeply to see their children in a lost condition and to know that they may be at least partially responsible for it. I know of several girls who got pregnant before they were married, and it changed their lives ever since. Many individuals, while under the influence of alcohol, have done things that have brought them lasting consequences. Some of them have to live with the guilt of taking another person's life after getting behind the wheel while drinking alcohol. I saw in the news this last week that a fellow who went to school with me and with Sherry at Faulkner University. He's a fellow gospel preacher. He made national news because he was arrested for soliciting a prostitute. His face is now all over the internet. He has brought tremendous shame upon the Lord's church. He has humiliated his wife. He has brought embarrassment to the congregation where he preaches. And yes, he can repent of that. There's no doubt that he can be forgiven of it. But he has committed a sin that's going to follow him for a long, long time. He has destroyed his influence. The consequences of sin follow you for a long time. Galatians 6 and verse 7 says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that will he also reap." Even if you should be lucky enough not to have to suffer the consequences of sin in this life, sometimes people think, "I'll get away with it. I won't get caught." You need to know that there is a day in which you will pay for sins. because there are eternal consequences that must be paid for eternal, for unforgiven sins. Number six. I think young people need to know, they need to be convinced of the fact that there is a day of judgment coming. Hebrews 9:27 says it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. Acts 17:30 and 31 says, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because He's appointed a day in which He will judge the world. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that we may receive the things done in the body according to that which He hath done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. And so, what if you're a person who steals? What if you're a person who uses foul language? What if you're a person who lies? What if you're a person who's a drinker, or one who engages in improper sexual relationships, or takes the Lord's name in vain? Or what if you're basically a good person, but you've never obeyed the gospel? You need to know the judgment day is real. And the day is coming when you will stand before the Creator of the universe and you will give an account for the things that you have done in the body. Now, when will that day be? Christ said, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels in heaven, but my Father only. We don't know when it will be, but you can rest assured it will be. The judgment day is coming. Number seven, I think young people need to know. They need to be absolutely convinced of the fact that heaven and hell are real places. We live in a world today where a lot of people don't believe that hell is real. A lot of people think that that's just a fairy tale, something that people have made up to scare people into living right. You need to know the Bible says after the judgment, mankind will be separated into one of two places. One is a place of paradise, the other is a place of torment. The place of paradise, the Lord described by saying, in my Father's house there are many mansions. John 14:2. It's a place described in Matthew 25 as eternal life. But that place is for those who've been washed in the blood of Jesus, who have lived a righteous and faithful life. Those who have not, they'll go to a different place. And it is a real place. A place of suffering, a place of agony, a place the Bible describes as outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It is a place that we read about. The rich man is in the preparatory place for hell. We read about him crying and suffering, and it will be that way for all eternity. Young people know that these need to know that these places are very real places. And finally, I think young people need to know. You need to know where you stand with God right now. You need to know what your relationship is, what your condition is in the eyes of the Lord at this moment. And this may be the most important point of them all. And this point, of course, is not just for young people, but it's for all of us. We should be keenly aware of where we stand in the eyes of the Lord. If the Lord returned this evening to separate mankind to His left hand or to His right hand and to His left, and we had the day of judgment today, what's your condition? We need to know the answer to that question.